Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast. I am your host, Garth Nelson, with one more host,
Jen Barr.
With us also in our studio, as usual, is our producer, Troy Presley. And we have two special guests.
Yes.
We have Mita. You know, I don't know Mita's first name.
Shinya.
Shinya. Okay, Shinya. Mita Shinya. Welcome to the podcast. And with him is another member of his comedy troupe, Nectar. What is the other member's name?
Ryuta.
Ryuta. All right.
Ryuta.
Yes. I remember the
He's really cute.
Yeah. Adorable.
So Mita is a member of JPML.
Oh yes, he is a member of the Japan Professional Mahjong League, as are Jen and I. Mita joined this year, so one season ago.
Last year.
So this is your second year. All right, very good. And it's currently.
So he's actually our kohai.
Oh, yes.
Our underling.
We can give him orders.
Yes.
We can send him out for drinks if we want to.
Exactly. But that means we have to pay for him.
Or we can have him pick up boys or girls for us.
All right. But we also have to pay for his drinks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
If we could send him out.
But
he did bring a cute boy today.
So yes.
I'm very
excited. He's helping
about
somebody's
that.
Cause. And I hear that you have been somewhere recently. You have some omiyage for.
Oh, yeah. I went
to
the zoo. This week.
Oh, very nice.
Ueno Zoo. It's only 600 yen. It's amazing.
Wow, that is a good way to spend a day.
And nearby is Asakusa,
uh-huh.
which is the temple that Troy and I and Benjamin went to, and Jamie went to for
New Year's.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And there's also this place that sells plastic food. Because if you've ever been to Japan, you'll know that like all the restaurants have food samples, plastic food samples. And these things look like real food. They don't look fake.
It is amazing. Yeah, you see them outside and you think, oh, wow, they just left some food out here. And then it's just really shiny plastic.
Yeah,
it's like food.
It looks like they just, like, made a dish and put plastic wrap over it or something.
Right.
And so we found the stores that sell that. So I got keychains for producer Troy and Garthy.
Oh, wow.
So Garthy gets beer.
How appropriate.
And producer Troy gets tempura.
Wow. All right.
It's a shrimp tempura.
This can take the place of my random USB stick that's on my keychain. All right. Thank you very much. Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
Maybe we can take a picture later and upload it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. We should start doing that normally.
Yes.
Would you guys like pictures on the podcast content items?
Yes.
That'd be pretty cool.
If you like that suggestion, you can. Now that we've raised it, we're probably just going to do it anyway.
So if you like that suggestion, you can contact us where?
Oh, yes, we are contactable. I am Garth E, G-A-R-T-H-E, at ReachMahjong.com.
And I'm Jen, J-E-N-N, at ReachMahjong.com.
Love to hear from you guys as all the time. Let's see, what happened in the world of Mahjong this week? We had 10 steps, the first part of the first two steps of the, or no, the first three.
First four.
Wow.
You had the first three.
Yes. I made it to the first three by starting on the third step. But you started at the second step, and, well, how did you do?
So the first and second steps this year, 40% win and move on to the next step.
40%?
Of the people.
Oh,
so it's not the tournament system.
That's why they didn't do the normal everybody playing at the same table all the time.
Right, so we switch tables every game. And I barely made it in.
Barely made it from the second step to the third step.
Yeah, well, I had about 25 points.
Uh-huh.
And I think the cutoff was around 20.
Wow, well done, well done.
So it was kind of perfect. It was a really good clutch play on my part, I suppose.
You had like a clutch play at the end of the last game or something to...
Well, the whole time. So I started out with a negative score, and then I got three positive scores in a row, so it brought me back up. To just enough. I had plus five going into the last game, and I got about 20 points.
So you had a...
I had plus 14. I had plus 14, and I got about 10 points. I took a second place, and I needed the second place, so...
Well done.
It was kind of perfect. And then I joined you in the morning, or you joined me in the morning.
Yes.
The next day. Because that was Saturday, so Sunday was the third and fourth steps. And the third step has split into two steps.
Yes, two half steps in the third step, which you have heard me complain about incessantly for the last, 2 weeks maybe.
Right. So we both won to step B of the third one. right?
Right. Yes, I did make it to the. I did make it past the first round of the third round, but I lost. Man, to jump burst into your story just for a second, I could not win a hand in the last game. I was right there. If I had just been able to win a hand, any of the last four hands, I would have ended the game and I would have been able to win. And I got to ready on all four hands, and I just couldn't get my winner. It was
really
annoying.
Yeah, I think I always started. Oh, the first game, the first set of three games, I started out losing again as like third place or something, and then I got second place, first place, and I ended up getting first on my table. To move on.
Oh yeah, I remember. I think I remember seeing you had a really. Oh no, that was in the fourth step. Sorry.
And then the second half of the third one, I also took first place. I took first place in the first game. And then I think I took second or third place. And the last game, I think I took first again. I just kept winning. And the second half of the third step, there was a girl on my table, Azuma. And for some reason, I always get nervous around her when I'm playing. I don't know why.
I wonder which one that is.
She's really nice, and I think I haven't been on the table with. Oh, I was on the table with her in North Kanto last season. And I don't know why, but I got really nervous. I thought if I can beat her, then I can win at Mahjong, right? And so I just played. I really played my heart out. I played my best, and it paid off.
Well done.
And then I made it to the fourth step. And the whole time, Mita is texting me like, "Did you make it? How'd it go?" So, he was the only one I was replying to too. Because some other people were asking me how's it going, but I didn't want to touch my phone, so. But I replied to Mita. And then after the fourth step, I was exhausted. I ended up making a scoring mistake at the end, too.
Oops.
Because I got first place, and then I think I got second. I was like plus 40-something. And there was a small chance, that I wouldn't be in the top two at my table. Because one guy had a small positive, and another guy was at zero. So if they both overtook me, if they both got in the 20s and I was negative, like if I was last place, then I would have lost.
Wow.
So it was kind of close at the end, but I ended up winning a hand and claiming 5,200 points, even though it was 8,000 points. I did get the 8,000 points for it, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know, like, I do know that situation. When all you really need to do is win the hand, so you're not even really paying attention to the scoring, and where you're just like, oh, yeah, just 1,000. I'll just take 1,000. Because all you need is to win the hand. I had one of those mistakes myself. And I left my reach stick out on the table, and I'm like, you can take this too. No, I'm positive. You can have that.
Actually, Uchi was at the table with me then, and he just had a rough session.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember seeing that, yes.
I think something happened, so he reached, and the guy to my left reached.
Right.
And I was a dealer, and he had reached with the three of BAMs. And I ended up ready, waiting for the one of BAMs, which was Adora, and also North.
Okay.
And the second guy who had reached, the three of BAMs was not safe to him, but it was safe to Uchi. So Uchikawa, we talk about him in League a lot. So I ended up reaching as well. I put in the third reach. And the first discard for Uchi was North.
Oh.
And I was dealer, so that was 7,700 points right there. And that kind
that
of
started his downward spiral?
I think so. It really like set the tone for all the rest of the games. So it was really rough for him.
But. Yeah, it was. He did seem a little bit despondent when he left the table.
Yeah, because we all went out to eat afterwards, and I really thought he would come, but I think he was just down.
I think he was really beaten more than just Mahjong-wise. Although, I have to say, man, after the second round of the third game, of the third step, oh, God, I was wiped out myself. I don't know what, if I had qualified, I don't know if I would have had any energy left to even play the fourth round anyway.
I was exhausted, but he didn't come in until the second half of the third round.
Oh, yeah,
because
true,
he's in a higher league, so he is the same year as us, but.
Well, you kind of kicked some ass in the in the fourth round, did you not?
I did.
I remember. So, what was the hand? There must have been one hand early on that like really set the tone for you there, right? Do you remember what it was that really shot you up into the stratosphere?
Well, that 77 was huge. It was just in the first game when I was dealer. I just kept winning and winning.
On the in the fourth round.
There were only three rounds.
In the fourth step.
Yeah.
Okay. God, I'm confusing the steps then. All right. So that was the fourth step. All right.
Yeah.
And that's the hand that set the tone for you, and then, blam, you're...
Right, I was dealer, and I just kept winning and winning and winning. And so I got a huge lead in that game.
I do remember coming over to check out the game.
Yeah.
And really, I don't know why do I have this effect, but as soon as I showed up, both times I like start watching your table, blam, you threw like a 3,900 point hand and a 7,700 point hand. It
yeah.
was kind of weird.
Yeah, and then I turned around and said, can you leave?
I was okay. So I went over to a table over on the other side, and oh, I went to Kamimura's table.
Shin.
He was Shin.
The author Shinzai.
Taro Kamimura. He also had kind of a rough time, kind of similar to Uchi on his table. And then actually from that table, I could still sort of see your table anyway. But
it looks like it was the perfect distance.
Yes, my voyeurism worked from a distance. So yes, that was our, by the way, yes, I only made it to the end of the third step, but I could not win a hand, and the dealer, also if the dealer had just not, finished ready or not won any of those hands, I would have been fine too. Like I would have gotten some winning points at the end, except on the very last hand, the second to last hand, he won a 3,200 points all hand. So
yeah.
That was 9,600 points. Him, that put him up above me. So then I needed a really big hand to get ahead of him, or just anything to get ahead of Koshino. But I got to ready with a hand that was just three colored runs, and that was not quite enough. I needed 4,400 points, and there were four continuations, so just three colored runs is 3,800 points. If the dealer or the guy across from me had thrown my winner, it wouldn't have been enough. If Koshino had thrown my winner or I drew it, that would be enough, right? So then I'm debating, what do I do? And my weight is just for the five of dots. I've got the two and eight in my discards, and one of the fives is in Koshino's discards. I don't. What would you do there?
But. So if you reach, you'll have enough.
If I reach, yeah, I can win off anybody. If I don't reach, I can only win off Koshino or draw my own winner.
I think you have to reach there. This is your last chance, right?
Kind yeah. So I reached, and of course everybody just beta ordi, which means, you know, get fold in like the most pinner folding manner you possibly can. Just like, oh, I'm not going to throw anything that's not in Garth's discards. And so everybody threw safe. And I got 3,000 points at the end for being the only one with a ready hand. But, of course, that was not enough to overtake Koshino. And also I lost the reach stick that stays on the table. So that was the end of my 10 Steps tournament. By the way, Mita, how did you do in the 10 Steps tournament? Judan-sen. Yes.
Shodan.
You finished in the first step?
Yes.
In the first step. All right. Very good. Yes. Well, yes.
He is a comedian, by
yes.
the way.
comedian. And what's the office there? Is Yoshimoto?
No, I don't have to say that.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. A comedian. Funny dude. he's always the life of our parties when we go drinking at around
Christmas
time.
I haven't been to any of those parties, but now we became friends, so he promised he's going to invite me out somewhere.
Absolutely, yes. Fun times. Good times. So that was the end of the first four rounds of the 10 Steps tournament, which is the rounds of the tournament that will happen, that happened this month. Afterwards, we did have a fun time going out with a lot of the guys in charge. And we had a really good discussion about all of the about our complaints with Mr. What's his name? Setokuma. Yes.
Setokuma and Fujiwara.
And Fujiwara, yes.
Except for that you weren't having a very nice conversation.
Yeah, I was a little irate because, of course, I was a little I was disappointed that I had lost.
Yeah. So then I took the reins and said, "I'm sorry for Garth. Can we talk like adults?"
Yes, I was also I was maybe a little beerically lubricated.
Did
so
you have beer while you were gone?
No, I had.
Because you really didn't. You seemed like you had some beer already before we showed up.
No. I was just...
You got right into it.
I was just really angry because I lost. And yeah. I lost even though I won. I won...
You're making crackly sounds with your omiyage.
Right. I made, I won one round. I should at least be... I should get something for that, I would think. But, as it works out, didn't actually get anything. I did actually get some interesting points from Setukuma. Mm-hmm. And one of the points that I did not know, which makes a big difference to my thinking now, and if you can help me remember exactly what he said. He said something about how I think Tomotake and the guy who won Masters, Iguchi, both have rights to jump into the 10 Steps tournament at some very late stage in the game, right?
I think so.
And he said that despite the fact that they can jump in, I think at the ninth round, mm-hmm. the ninth step, they are going to actually be forced to jump in at the eighth step to make the numbers work out correctly.
Right. It was Fujiwara and Iguchi. That's who it was.
I think was it Fujiwara? I thought it was Tomotake.
No, I think it's Fujiwara because he's running the tournament. So the people who are running the Judonsen, the people who are in charge of all the tables and everything.
Uh-huh.
I thought that's who he was talking.
Okay.
About.
I missed exactly what it was, but. The point was that it's not just those of us in the third step which had to make concessions to help the tournament run smoothly, and I guess there are a lot of issues in running a tournament and making it all go smoothly. so there are other people in the tournament, not just and one of my points was the guys at the top make this sort of decision because they're at the top and they're thinking, it's just the third step. We don't have to really care about those guys, right? And his point was like, no, actually some people at much higher levels are also making concessions too. And it's just, the nature of the way that tournament has to be run. It's not like there's an unlimited budget to work with.
Right.
And so they have to do things to make sure that we can fit the tournament into the venue that we have and get everybody to have at least some sort of shot at winning the tournament.
They also work it backwards.
Uh-huh.
They work it out for... so it has half of the field moves forward each time.
Right.
So they actually work it backwards, starting with the final table.
Uh-huh.
So from there they'll need 8, and from there they'll need 16, and from there they'll need, however many, 48 or whatever. Uh-huh. So that's what he was saying before, when if one person who's the ninth level ranking, which is the highest one you can be, if one of them decides not to play, then earlier in the game, that makes room for 30 more people to move up one more step.
30 more people?
Something like that. Because it's one full table there, which is multiplied by 4 or 5, depending on how many steps it takes to get there.
Uh-huh.
Or doubled 4 or 5 times, actually.
Wow. So that means that the higher level people have to really commit several months in advance.
Exactly.
And
then if they don't make it, they have alternates. But if they know for sure beforehand they're not going to be there, then many more people have the chance to move up one step.
Oh, very interesting.
It's very interesting.
I did not realize. Because I thought that they just had, everybody could make it to the ninth step, and then at that point, at the ninth step, they have a tournament that just eliminates down to 16 players. Because the next step after the ninth step is the round of 16, right?
I think so.
Huh. I wonder
or maybe, no, the next step is the Honsen, the main event.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's something 48 or...
48. There's still that
Maybe
many
32?
People in the tournament at that point.
Apparently, yeah.
That's
there's
amazing.
Still a lot of people left. They started with something 300. I think there's still 100 people left.
Wow.
Yeah.
100 people left and still 5 steps to go.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that seems really strange that 100 people could be left if they're cutting down half of each step. And then how could they have...
Well, 7 and 8 are together.
Oh, okay, right.
So, I don't know all of the math altogether, but...
Oh, yes.
7 and 8 are together, because there aren't very many 7 and 8s.
All right.
And then there's also other seeds coming in, like the Pro Queen and the winner of the Women's League.
Winner
of other tournaments. The winner of the the regional leagues also gets seeded into the 6th step.
Huh.
And, yeah.
Interesting.
So there's lots of seeds coming in, so it's not just the steps that are coming in.
All right. So yes, that's the 10 Steps tournament, which you've heard me complaining a little bit about. for the last couple of weeks, and some of the explanation we got from our superiors about why they have to do it, why they have to run it the way they do, and it was a little illuminating for me, and a good chance for me to calm down a little bit. Yes, after being a little irate.
And man, it was good practice for me to see how you were acting, and so that is exactly what not to do.
Yeah,
this is how you do not talk to people that are the Phoenix Cup holders.
Yes. Yeah, I probably did get a little bit out of hand there. But he's such a relaxed guy. You know, I don't think it really makes that. I don't think he really gets that worked up about it.
No, he doesn't. But actually, it was the first time I ever had seen him speak that way. Yeah, to us. And I mean, it's just because we haven't had a lot of time to speak with him privately, so. There's a lot of things, but he's really supportive of us. He's supportive of the website. He's come to reach Mahjong.com Cups. He was the first winner of it, and so he's really interested, and he's really willing to listen to things we have to say.
Yes, a good ally to have in the world of Mahjong, especially in GPML. All right, so that's the, whatchamacallit, 10 Steps Tournament. One thing I wanted to talk about, strategy. This is a strategy thing that I had for last week, but then I talked about 10 Steps forever, and hopefully try not to talk about it forever this time. Something that I have seen a lot in games recently is Kongs. And I think just something I wanted to talk again a little bit, go over strategy for when to Kong.
So this is like the quad, four of a kind.
Yes.
Kong. Yeah. No, lots of people use the word Kong, but just in case you don't know.
Quads or four of a kind. A lot of players I have seen recently just Kong immediately. Anytime they get four of the same thing in their hands, Kong. And, you know, that might even be that bad a strategy a lot of the time. Especially if it's a letter tile where it's not going to make any difference. There's no other way you could use them except for, you know, as safety tiles if somebody reaches. It's not a bad thing to do because you're not going to be able to mix them with other tiles. And also, it also depends on what rules you're playing, because in the rules that we play at League, there won't be another Dora, so you're not really affecting a lot of things by doing that kind of Kong.
Right. I would say there's actually a lot more opportunities in A rules that you would want to Kong than there are in the normal free parlor rules.
Right. Yeah. In the parlor rules, I think there's a lot more nuances or things you want to think about for your Kong timing.
There's a lot more risks.
Right. Not only do you create an immediate extra Dora, extra lucky dragon, but you create the possibility of another one, of another hidden one, right?
Right.
And
so lots of people are going to reach after you declare a quad.
Right. People are really going to try to be able to reach, because that's they may have gotten an extra Dora by the one that's exposed, and they're also thinking, well, you know, now I have two chances to get a hidden Dora. It's a huge advantage for anybody who's able to reach.
And it's a good chance that you gave them more Dora with the normal quad Dora too.
Right. And so that's one reason to think about not immediately exposing your Kong whenever it happens to appear in your hand. That's another reason why not to call for a Kong when you have three in your hand and somebody throws the fourth of it out, right? That is I think we've gone over this a little bit before. It's in almost every situation a terrible strategy. You're really, all you're doing is cheapening your own hand while making other people's hands quite possibly much more expensive.
And exposing more of your hand when the only really big defense you have in Mahjong is anonymity of your hand.
Yes.
It's the hidden. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. That's the only part you can hide. So.
Right. And so the times that I think you want to think about exposing your Kong are, for example, when you get to nearly ready. And so let's say you're one away from ready, and you have a bunch of tiles in your hand that could all still be useful. You don't want to throw any one of them away because the other one of them might still be useful in some way. In that situation, you might as well Kong, because you don't know which thing to choose.
Right.
Or you're not necessarily might as well Kong, but it's a better situation to Kong there than just randomly at some point because you happen to have it in your hand. You might be able to get to ready, right away, and then you can reach. And you know, the timing on that is also a huge psychological boost for you and against all the other players. They see you, Kong. It makes your hand a little bit more expensive. They think, oh gosh, maybe he has one of those extra Dora, and maybe he's going to have the extra hidden Dora. It's a huge sort of psychological twist on things if you can manage to get to ready right there.
Also, that tile might be dangerous to somebody else.
Which tile?
If you have four of the same kind, let's say you have four or five of cracks. You know, it might be somebody else's winner, and that might be a reason to declare the quad yourself, the concealed quad, because then you don't have to discard it.
That is also another reason to wait to expose it, because the sooner you expose it, the sooner that other guy says, oh gosh, well, there's four of the tiles that I need to complete my hand. I'm going to go for something else earlier.
Right, and so he might change his weight.
Right, and you're just helping him know what to do with his hand there by exposing so much of yours. So I think a lot of people need to think a little bit more about the timing on their quads, because lately I've seen people just quadding indiscriminately, and it's like, what are you thinking?
Actually, I played the cheapest game at Sentenbo last week. Two players that had never played free before.
Uh-huh.
They'd never played casino style, and so they came, and it was Shin and I at the table.
Uh-huh.
Like, how lucky are these guys?
Yeah,
their
really.
First time to play free, and they're playing with me.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, as far as myself goes, you know, I'm just playing Mahjong. I just like playing Mahjong. But to other people that come into a parlor, I'm kind of, you know, known a little bit.
I mean, you and Shin are two very accomplished players in the Japanese Pro Mahjong League.
So this is their first experience playing free. And then we both have our pro, name tags on.
Uh-huh.
And they both declared quads, open quads. Uh-huh. From
other concealed
people.
Hands.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And
that is
entertaining. I mean, it was fine, and I think they did okay playing. But they only play at home.
Uh-huh.
You know, like shuffling with hands, so they were really nervous, but it worked out good. And I think, you know, if you're declaring open quads, it's not a huge deal, but it's something to think about if you want to bring your game up to the next level.
Right, you're taking a lot of risks there, and especially for tiles that that are like letter tiles, those might be useful as folding tiles later if somebody reaches. If your hand is really not getting to ready, you don't have to keep going just because you happen to have a quad in your hand.
Right.
you can use those. That's four tiles that you can use to safely get off the hand, unless somehow miraculously they happen to be going for 13 orphans.
Also, but, you really have to decide what your stance is in the hand. If you're taking the aggressive approach or if you're taking the safe approach, because you really can't go both ways when you're playing.
Yeah.
You can up to a point.
But half-ass attack is almost always a sure way to just shoot yourself in the
foot. Right. I remember last year when I was playing at my parlor, when it was still there, and I had four Easts, and I was in first place, and it was right before the last hand, and I quadded the East, even though it's a safe tile.
Uh-huh.
I quadded it because I was ready,
right.
And I was ready to win.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my hand was ready, and I was ready, so... Lots of uses of the word ready there. So I did that, and I drew my tile, and I didn't win. And then afterwards, one of my employees asked me, why did you quad there even though you were in first place? Because I'm sure that she had been told by the manager that if you're in first place and it's a safe tile, it's not a good idea to quad.
Right.
But the way I'm looking at it is that I'm ready to win.
Uh-huh.
I am taking the aggressive approach here, and that's an extra draw that I get.
Right. Mm.
And I need to
You're
take every chance
more
I
chances
can.
To win.
Exactly. I need to take every chance I can to win. So for me, that was a really good play. I mean, for her, maybe it's not the best play. It's different for people, depending on your style. But you got to decide which approach you're taking.
I think that's a very typical style of what we learn in our study sessions. Most of the players in our study sessions are going to play in that very aggressive style.
Right.
Where this is something we've also discussed. Like, if you're up, it means that you've been winning. Everybody knows where I stand on luck and ski and whatever. But, there is the psychological part of the game there where other players are like, oh, God, here's the winner coming to attack again. and you have a psychological advantage over the other players as the winner, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. A quad, there is a really strong move, and they're gonna be afraid. A lot of
it's
players.
It's gonna be intimidating, and you know you've been winning. There are a lot of people in our league that think you should keep attacking, and so the quad in that situation is an attacking move, and people will feel. I guess you wouldn't want to say offended, but you're on the offense.
Yeah.
So that puts them on the defense. Yes. All right. So that's our discussion of quads for this week, and that about wraps up our discussion for the week. Do we have any housekeeping issues?
Yep. The new Japanese site is coming up this week.
Okay.
That isn't really relevant to most of the English speakers of our listeners. But there's also World Series news.
World Series news.
Registration opens on June 15th.
Oh,
I talked to the guys today.
All right.
The Reach event is going to happen. The High Roller event is canceled.
Oh,
yep.
All right.
So there'll only be two events.
Two events,
yep.
Like there were 2 years ago.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. One other change of schedule that we have is our ReachMahjong.com Cup tournament for this month.
It was supposed to be on the 13th. We're changing it to the 27th.
27th.
Because I will not be in Europe yet. So.
Okay. Yep. And yes, on the 13th, I'm also going to be playing Special League.
Yeah, so and I have North Kanto League, and everybody's kind
of
busy, so we're going to
change it. A lot of conflicts
it,
there, yes. All right. So we have moved the this month's tournament to the 27th.
So if you're in Tokyo.
Yes, come over and play for a chance to go to the World Series of Mahjong Reach event.
Right.
For only $6,000. For the low, low price.
Also, get on the forums. Once the Japanese website is up and all the content is finished for the two sites, I will be on the forums daily.
Ooh,
so make sure you get up there, post your questions, post stuff about the podcast.
Very nice,
and
yes.
And we will be interacting.
If I can stop going by the Black Lion, I guess I would be able to myself. Or if I just bring my computer over to the Black Lion.
Oh, that's an idea.
All
yeah,
right.
Someone has been talking to Vortex too much, I think.
Oh, really?
Mr. Garthy.
Oh, yes.
Because yesterday I was at the Black Lion. And I get a message from Vortex, something about, are you drinking? How did you know?
That guy is connected.
He knows people in high places.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that's our ReachMahjong.com podcast for this week. Thank you to Mita and Yuta for joining us, and hopefully they will be taking part in some of the ReachMahjong.com stuff that comes up. Thank you, Troy, for producing our action, as always. And as always, get in touch with us if we can. Pardon? Hmm? Yes?
Are you going to thank me?
That wasn't obvious. I'm so thankful. Yes, thankful. But I thought we were thanking everybody. I was thanking everybody for you.
Yeah, we were thanking everybody,
me.
And then I thought you would personally thank
you.
Me.
Oh, yes. And thank you, Jen. It's so nice to have you with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Garth, for thanking me.
Oh, wow, I got thanked, too. All right, thanks for listening in to you guys, too. Thanks all of you, too. And we will be coming at you again next week.
And once again, you can get us at Jen, J-E-N-N, at ReachMahjong.com, or...
Garth, E, G-A-R-T-H-E, at ReachMahjong.com. Have a good week.
See ya.
ポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分は最高場所はかなり錆びれたジャンス麻雀ワイトクラブ ポンチロッ お兄さんまたそれ論やわ